Okay, so welcome to another episode of Tarpon World Radio. This is Captain Barry Broody from Tarpon World Radio, and we've got Frank from Fish and Franks and Pastor Don from Grace by Faith Church in Port Charlotte, Florida?
Englewood, Florida.
And
now, you knew you had a bass player on. That's why you started with that one.
Yeah, you were. I got you moving in your seat quite a bit.
I'm sitting here doing air bass. I don't do that often, but I was, you know, how do you not when that song comes on?
I know. It's a classic. Never goes old.
Horrible words, great music. Idiot performer, great music.
I'm not touching any of this.
Yeah, no, you're a pastor. You got to stay out of this one.
If he did enough touching on his own, so I'm like,
there goes the pastor bit right out the door. Okay. Gee, crack
us. What?
All right.
Lead a horse to water, it will drink.
Or a jackass to the feed trough. One or the other. Sure. All right. Barry, yes. I'm Fish and Frank, as Barry said, and one thing I'm letting you guys know is I'm kind of the thread that binds. I'm the one who conceived of the different shows, asked Barry to do this, and Pastor Donnie and the girls and all the other people with shows coming up on this, and I am so fortunate in life to have these amazing people around me. And it's pretty cool. And now I get to be on the different shows and have a lot of fun. We have our own studios now. And thank you so much for doing the show, Barry. You're doing an awesome job.
Well, thank you. I was going to say thank you for giving, you know, both Don and I, Pastor Don and I, the opportunity to do this as well, to get our voice heard.
So. Yeah, get that right. You see the size of him?
Yeah.
Figure, that much muscle and God on his side, you know?
Oh, my.
Ouch. Wow. I'm a gentle giant. I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, right. Do you notice he did add giant to that?
Gentle giant. Didn't he just walk into the store with three broken rods?
Yeah.
Very gentle. Yes. Gentle on humans or fish or what is it, Pastor
John? I'm working on the whole being on the gentleman, you know, being on people, just being gentle. You know, the fish I'm still going to be brutal on.
All right. Put him on a hot skillet.
It's got to come up now. Going to the hot skillet now. Boys,
look, I
could actually see him on the pier, you know, the little last rites, and you know, okay.
Yeah, you gotta bless him.
I actually believe that you do that.
I do pray for my father to open up the waters and let us have great catching a fish day. So, yeah,
I for some reason or other, I just have it in my mind, you know, you catch the fish, put them in the ice chest, you do your little, you know,
last
prayer thing, and you know, I don't know about that.
That's Catholic, you know. There, Frank, and I'm not Catholic.
No, but I'm just saying, you know, I can just, you know, for some reason.
Three Hail Marys and a push-up. Go ahead with it.
That's spectacle, statistical, ball, and watch.
Oh, my. Barry, take control, baby.
All right, let's talk fishing.
Yeah, let's get back to fishing here. Come on.
We need some holy water.
never mind. Go ahead.
Okay. First off, guys, I just met Pastor Don probably half an hour ago at Frank's. That's how this store works.
Yep.
You just run into people. Fishing really does bring in all different walks of life into your store. I'm sure you see that.
And brings them together.
It does bring us together. God set it all in motion. He really put us all together. And the fact that you were here in the parking lot, you were inside and talking a moment ago, and with us having an opportunity to meet like this through God's blessing, now we're on two radio shows back to back. This is awesome.
Yeah, and fishing doesn't matter. It's a sport that is any age, from like 5 years old up to retirement age, where Frank is.
Okay, Barry.
On the previous show I recorded with Pastor Don, I am going to get him some color dye for his hair. Just so you know. But it is, if you think about it, the biblical sport.
It is.
Right?
It is.
Well, Jesus was a fisherman.
His some of his disciples and apostles were fishermen, and they got out there and they did it.
Yeah. And I'm no Jesus, but I'm a fisherman. You know? So it kind of works both ways. I mean, but literally in this store, I have a real good buddy who's a Muslim. excellent fisherman. I'm super jealous of him because he's in Turkey right now fishing on his family's land. They got a river that goes through it, so I'm super jealous of him. Wow. We have Hindus and Buddhists and Christians and just every
walk of life,
color, size, whatever, of people.
And fishing brings all of us together. Isn't that amazing?
It's a wonderful way for everybody to get along. I mean, if we could just get Congress to go fishing,
yep,
you know, get the Senate to, all, okay, everybody, just come on down. We'll take you all out fishing. And by the end of the day, you'll get this stuff figured out.
I want to vote deep sea fishing. That way anybody that wants to misbehave, in they go.
Drop off the federal
waters. If you can't improve your attitude.
That's what they did with Jonah. Jonah was like, all right, I'm the problem. Throw me in. And 3 days in the belly of a whale, that would straighten up any of these congressmen, right?
I don't know. There's two or three I could think of that baby got. But, you know, anyway.
We were going to talk about snook, wasn't
fishing.
We?
Snook fishing.
What brings us all together here, let's talk about that, is snook fishing, right?
That's right.
And I know, Pastor Don that you...
Isn't it amazing you yell at the host to tell him fishing show?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. That's what I have Frank on the show, man. Yeah. But did you, when you first moved here from Louisiana, What was a snook like to you in terms of how did you think of them? Were they?
Well, actually, my adopted dad took me out to the dock. You know, by this time I've already been here about a year and a half, okay. And I've been catching other kind of fish, but I hadn't seen the snook yet. And so one day, you know, he's a deacon from my church. He's like, "Hey, come out with me and fish." And I was like, "Okay." Well, he lives out on Englewood Beach over there off the inlet side. Okay. And he had a dock that we can fish off of. And I said, "Well, man, that's awesome. I get to go fish, you know, for free." Anyway, so we go out to his dock, and it's about 7 o'clock at night. And they have some lights underneath the dock. And here's all these big, beautiful snook. Uh-huh. And I was like, "What is that?" Because I'd never seen one.
All this time, right?
Yeah, and I was like, "What is this?" And he was like, "Oh, those are snook, and that's what we're after." And we tried. We didn't do very successful. We tried shrimp. We tried other bait. And that's how we met Frank. We came down here. We got some information from him. He hooked us up with a plug, and we were on. And let me tell you something. Snook is an amazing fish. It puts up a great fight. And, you know, it's just an awesome time out there to fish. But they're very smart. If they see that leader, you're in trouble. If they see the hook, you're in trouble. Yeah. If they see your anything, you're in trouble. And if they hear you or see you up on it, it's over.
Yep.
Forget it.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say is, like, to me, I would say the smartest fish, in my opinion, inshore are snook. Like, the smartest, like, you have to, I don't know how to say it. Like, it's the same thing, like, what you said. You were fishing for so long, and you didn't even see them till it came out at night, but they've been there the whole
Guerrilla
time.
Guerrilla fishing tactics.
Yeah.
You must learn. You must get into it, delve into the mind of the snook. You must practice stand on one hand with your feet backwards.
We saw the ladyfish out there. We battled them easy, trout, we battled that easy, and here's snook just laying there and never saw them, never got the opportunity to hit them. And now when you stand out there on a dock with the lights and you see these fish and they're just massive-looking fish, you know, 30-some inches, they're just a beautiful fish, and they always like to face the current. Uh-huh. They love that current, and that's something else I had to learn. You know, I didn't know about this, you know. I'm a freshwater, you know, in the river fishing. I didn't know all this stuff, you know. Current runs one way on a river. I don't know if people know that or not. It just goes one way, south or north, you know, whatever. But you get out here in the water, and it's in and out. You know, you have an inward tide, you have an outward tide, and they do all that plays a factor when you're out there fishing. Yeah. And so Frank hooks us up with the right plug, told us what to do, and we started nailing them, man. And
so is that how you caught your first snook?
Was it is. Lure? It is. I tried every way in the world to catch it with the other one. I could catch a ladyfish. I could catch everything else that was out there, but the snook would see my bait and just walk away. So we come down here, and I was talking to Frank, and Frank started going, you know how he drills you? Have you remember that?
Yeah. Oh,
he just drills you, you know, for a long time, and he wants to know everything about it. So I was like, all right, dude, I'm not going to tell you what dock I'm fishing from because I don't know you. You know what I mean?
Like, trying to get a spot out of
you? Yeah, he was trying to get a spot. He's like, all right, I'm going to bring a boat, and I'm going to fish off your dock. Don't worry about it. And I was like, I'm not telling you. But I did. I ended up telling him, and he was like, here. And he walked away from me, and I was like, what's up with that? And he comes back with this little freshwater plug, and he said, throw this at it. He said, you'll hit two, put it away for like 20, 30 minutes, throw it back after you hit two more. And that's exactly what happened. Just amazing.
Is that a secret lure, or is that... go ahead.
I'm sure it was probably a storm twitch, but it could have been an X-wrap. The problem with it is, like Jeff said, guy came in and just couldn't believe how many fish he caught on this lure that Jeff gave him. And Jeff has no idea what he sold him, because we need to know where you are, what you're doing. We figure what the weather is, what the color of the water. You know, we're doing 87 computations in our head, and that leads us to grab a lure. Yep. Now, if four guys came in that day and asked to catch the same fish, we might grab four different lures, depending upon what they answer to our questions.
Yep.
So we never know what it is that we're telling somebody, and most of the time we don't remember, because we literally have 60, 80,000 people a year come through the store. Mm. So 80,000 people a year through this little bait shop. Wow. That's like an attraction number.
It is.
You know, 80,000 people. But
and I will
we
say
really
the second
don't remember much, because you go on and you're helping the next guy do it.
And I will say the second time I came in and was talking to him about snook and where we were at, he was like, try this one here in the daytime. They just love this in the daytime. And I'm like, wait, what? I'm just now getting used to the nighttime thing, you know? But it was a little black plug. It was way different. Shape different, looked different, floated different. But he was right. He said, you know, I got underneath the pole and I looked up at it. This is what was going on. I put it out there and bam, during the daytime, I'm hitting these things. And I'm like, what in the world is going on, you know? But it is, it's all about the science. Where is the water flowing? Where's the snook at? Is it daytime? Is it nighttime? Is it light in collar? How's your tackle rig set up? You know, what's your leader look like? You know, don't throw down something that they can see, because they're going to ignore it.
Right. So, like, the first snook you caught, so Frank gave you a plug, whether it be a storm twitch or an X-wrap, something.
The little booger, I know what he looks like. He's white. And he's got a little red dot on him up top, and he's got
storm
a little
twitch.
Yep, yeah. Storm twitch. And we got two of them, me and Dad. We both went on different sides of the dock, because it's a rather large dock, and it goes out like a T, you know what I mean? And we both threw out, and we both hit, bam, instantly, brought in our snooks. And it was like, wow, we're eating snook tonight. What's up? Wow. You know, it's just amazing.
What size leader? Did Frank tell you a certain leader to use, or did he just
give
you a lure?
It was a 3-foot leader is what we were using, 30-pound test. With our little small rods, and we just cast out there, and you know, he kind of walked us through on how to bring it back, because there's not a lot of action you got to give it. You just got to get it out in front of them and crumb across their nose through that
naturally, with the tide.
That's
right.
Right.
Tide swing. Okay.
Yep. And bam, they will hit that bad boy. It's awesome.
So for beginners that are like starting to snook fish, or could be in the same predicament, because there's a lot of snook lights, whether it be in PGI canals, Port Charlotte canals, out in Inglewood,
yep,
anywhere, is to get a lure with light fluorocarbon leader, about 30, 20, you're getting a little
now,
risky.
What you got to do is stay just outside of the light, though.
Yep. Don't get in the light.
If you throw in the light, you're done.
Yes.
Now, if you want to throw into the light, it's a different formula. I actually go to Yozuri Pins Minnow, P-I-N-S, and
those are itty-bitty, right?
Like, itty-bitty tiny. I mean, they're smaller body-wise than a pencil.
Yes.
And they're about 1.5 inches, 2 inches long, little skinny thing, couple of treble hooks on it. But you have to cast it past the light. And I make my leader about 3.5 to 4 foot long, whatever I can cast. 3.5 is about it, believe it or not. 4 foot's a little too much. But when I cast it out beyond the lights, I'm going to work it back in. But I'm holding my rod tip up in the air, and I move it not in a jigging motion forward and backwards, but right to left, side to side, swaying the rod. Now, if you're not, your line to line knot touches the water, the fish will scatter.
That's why you keep your rod tip up.
Yep.
You got to keep your rod tip up so that knot stays out of the water. That little pins minnow, what I'm doing was I'm reeling it, and I'm not jigging the lure, moving my rod forward and backwards. I'm going all the way to the left, way over to the right, and it makes it serpentine, like an S pattern through the light, the same way as I've seen all these little bait fish go through them.
Yep.
Right.
By using a 20-pound fluorocarbon leader, which is light as you can go and expect to land a fish.
Yep.
You know, you can use lighter ones, but you're never ever going to land a fish.
That's right.
Especially with a pins minnow, that's probably $10 or something. Yeah, not to land the snook, but your lure back, too.
Yeah, that is kind of a bonus. You definitely want the lure back. Yeah.
But there's lures that I cast out that are bigger, like a Storm Twitch Stick or a Paula X-Wrap. crystal minnows, mirror lure, 17s, 14s, but
those you want to cast outside of the light, the bigger presentations.
Exactly.
The pins minnows is an exception where you can cast into light because it's such a small profile.
We're not into it. Drag it back into the light.
Yeah.
If you throw into the light, even with the pins minnow, you're done for half an hour.
Right.
Yep.
You've got to get out well past the light and get it together so uh-huh. that knot does not touch the water. I like it to be 4 to 6 inches or more away from the water. Because you can run that lure all the way up by the surface and down into the water. And because that's what all those bait fish do. Take a minute before you're going to fish those snook lights to pay attention. See what's there. What's going through the light? How does it react? Is it starting and stopping, or is it kind of swimming side to side, darting real quick one way or the other? Mm-hmm. Once you see what the fish are there to eat, it's pretty simple after that. But you literally have to pay attention to it. You have all this information in a pallet right there in front of you.
That's huge. So just to even start off. That's
you know, most people when they're fishing, they don't realize these fish can actually see up. You know, I had a friend of mine who was like, well, you can stand on top of them. They're not going to see you. And I'm like, you idiot. No, that's not how these work. These fish are very smart. They're constantly looking up. They're seeing the light. And they're seeing what's coming at them. And so if you don't throw something natural looking at them, they're not real apt to go at them, especially snook. Like you were saying earlier, snook's very smart. So if you hit them once or twice with the same thing, all the rest of them, it's like they tell on you. They're like, hey, that's a trap.
Yes.
Don't eat that. Now, 30 minutes later, they're going to forget about it. But they're going to be looking for that same thing that you'd be throwing at them before. So you can mix it up, go throw something else, or don't throw anything at all. Go
let them settle down.
Yeah, set them down a little, and then go back and hit them again. Very smart fish.
And I was going to say, if you like you said, their anatomy is their eyes are shaped up, so they only look up. And if you look at the bottom of a snook, like it's very pronounced on like the 40-inchers or the bigger ones. When you lay them flat on the ground, their whole bottom side is flat. It's like they're meant to lay on the bottom. Their nose is like streamlined, so it cuts through the current.
Yep.
That's why they face into the current. They just sit there, look up, and they wait for things to just brush, you know, past them. And yep. that's how they feed. That's like if you look at their anatomy, you can kind of figure out what a fish does.
Huh.
When you look at it that way.
Now, I know Mr. Phil. He uses it's his dock that we fish off of. He's our neighbor, direct neighbor. And when he's out there, he's like 80-some years old. He's been doing this his entire life. He's been at this house forever. I guess he grew up here. I don't know. But he comes out there, and he'll use a leader, a real small hook, and he puts on shrimp. And we've done the same thing, and we will not catch snook. I mean, the same rig, same setup, same pole, same everything. He'll go out there and put it on, throw it out, and he hits snook all day long. And it's like, what are you doing different that we're not, you know, that we're not doing? He's using the same kind of shrimp. It's not too big. It's not too small. He hooks them the same way we hook them. But he has a technique that he has, and he knows what time he's going to go out there. He goes out there before dark, and so he has a different target. You know, it's same fish, different target, different time. And whatever he's doing, I mean, he'll catch a bunch of snook.
Well, when my dad and I fish, we use different lures that are totally different colors. We're both catching fish. But if we were to switch rods, I would use his stuff, and he would use my stuff. I don't catch fish with it the way he does.
Isn't that crazy?
And we're on the same boat. We're in literally a 12 or 14 foot John boat. Mm. I'm fishing on one and he's on the other end. And literally different things. We're both catching fish, the same type of fish.
Yep.
But it's which one are you good with?
Right.
What are you?
What's your confidence technique or lure or whether it be shrimp? Like,
yeah.
What are you good at? What can you have confidence
yeah,
in?
It's how you present it, how you. Just different things like that. I don't know. It's really weird. But the only thing that I think me and the guys in the store here do as well or better than anybody is understand the area, what lures, what baits. It's an art form. There's no science to it. You
it's
know,
very true. It is art. It is. It's not everyone can do. If you like you just said, Pastor Don, if you tell someone this is what I do, use this line, rod, reel, everything. Yep. They still sometimes will not catch the fish, even though you tell them exactly what to do. There's no line there. It is.
That's another thing to do with how we pick our lures. Trying to figure out what the skill level is on the person, what they're going to be able to do. Can they twitch a lure, or are they just going to throw it out and reel it in?
Right.
What do you think this person could do? What is going to be the best one, not only for the fish, the water conditions, but the person,
exactly.
The type of rod and reel they're using, the skill set they have, all those things come into play. And it's trying to balance all that together, and that's where you get these, you know, that's why people, you know, they come back, they go, I can't believe this worked. And we're like, me either.
It was a shot in the dark.
Yeah. 60,000 times a year. It's nothing but luck.
One's going to hit, yeah.
Hey, nothing but luck.
This is true.
But
this
is true. Time and experience. After the first 10 years, it gets a lot easier. After the next 10 years, you get a kind of a slump. But once you're into 30 years of it, it's pretty much cake.
You know, Barry, I don't know what your experience is with this guy, but I know when I came down here, I was like just totally a newbie as far as saltwater fishing. I mean, I did a little bit, but most of that was on somebody else's boat. They were sitting on my rigs. I didn't have anything to worry about. So when I first come down here and saw Frank, I was at this level, but now I've progressed to this level. And unfortunately, I'm still breaking rods, and I found out what I was doing wrong today. But, you know, I've broken a lot of rods.
Tune into the next show, Gotten Fishing. We're going to go over.
Yeah, we're going to go over the Gotten Fishing.
Really remind you guys, quote unquote, the gentle giant. I had to bring that back. I'm sorry.
But I will tell you that as I've been coming in here, it's been a new experience each time because I've come in here, and I think Frank and the other guys, you know, there's so many of them in there. The girl, everybody that works here, they start to see you more and more, and they know your level of fishing and how you fish, and then they can progress you a little bit more. And they say, okay, you've graduated from first grade, now you're going to go second grade.
Right.
And now you can target these fish and use this and try to work on this. And then, you know, I have grown, massively quickly grown, day and night difference.
Right.
Well, how long would you say I've known you, Barry?
I mean, I remember the first time I ever came in here, I was probably, like, honestly – 5 years old. Like,
wow.
You know, I was going to say, I've known you pretty much your whole life.
Basically, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I remember.
His dad is one of the most amazing people. He's repaired my family. He's a plastic surgeon.
Oh.
And he's repaired my family. He's, my mom, my dad, my sisters, my nephews. I mean, his dad's done amazing things for
fantastic.
Our family. And we've known them forever. And our family has been so much better because we've known the Brudies.
Amen.
So I was going to say, Pastor Don, like, that's exactly, I mean, I guess that's the best way to describe it. Even though I've been through the store over 25 years, it is an evolving, sport of fishing, if you really get into it, more than just casting a bait and sitting down, which there's nothing wrong with. But especially when you get into artificials, it's just an evolving sport.
Thinking of
what I would throw when I was in middle school, to what I would do when I was in high school, to like college, like everything evolved, and that's what makes it fun, where it never gets stagnant. I always want to learn different ways to catch fish and different species, whether it be from the beach, from the boat, from a dock, in a snook light, under mangroves, in the holes in the harbor, like it's on a reef. It's so much fun, and especially where we are, maybe I'm just biased, but there's so much to do around here.
Well, I haven't traveled a lot, but I've done most of Europe, North America, and Central America, which is more than some and a lot less than others. But knowing, you know, it's always what's around the next bend and what's the next cool thing.
Exactly.
And trying to explain to somebody, okay, here's a lure, and all you got to do is just give it a little jerk and stop, But then there's 40 levels up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can make that exact same lure throw a spray 4 feet off the water, or make a gurgling sound or a chook, or I can do 30 things with that one lure that might make the difference in whether I catch fish that day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's not even just the lures, but it's also the lines, the knots you're using, the rods you like it's a whole different feel. Like there's so much to it.
Putting all the pieces together, man. It's the coolest jigsaw puzzle in the world.
Exactly.
Because you get three sides of it, but you never finish the end of it.
I don't think you ever master this. I think it's always progressing, always learning.
Yep. Well, that concludes another episode of Tarpon World Radio. Thank you guys for being on the show. And I would love to connect with all of you, so send me emails at tarponworld@gmail.com and let us know what you want us to talk about, and we will discuss them. Until next time, we'll see you. We dance. We